Dropout Podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Erotic Book Club. I am your host, Jess Ross. With me, as always, is my co-host.
Hello, I'm Rekha Shankar.
Thank you so much. Not sure how you're watching us or listening to us. If you're on our Dropout, if you're on CH2, if you're on iTunes, all of them are great ways. Our favorite way, of course, is through Dropout because you get to listen to it first. And you get to check out all of our other content, shows like D20, What the Fuck 101, other podcasts, The College Humor Podcast, Tales from the Closet, and of course Erotic Book Club. And our favorite part is becoming being on our Discord. We have so much fun on there. It's our channel where you can talk to us directly after you watch the episode or in between episodes. We have some fun comments from fans. We got Doc Mayhem, who really made my week. He said, I keep Dropout just for Erotic Book Club. Awesome show.
Thank you so much.
And I truly thought that that was so sweet and special. Maybe it's a lie, but hey, sometimes a lie's nice. Sometimes a little nice lie made somebody's day. And
exactly.
You made my day, Doc Mayhem. Random geek named Brent said, there, being Rekha and I, are cool with talking about animal dicks and monster fucking. They gotta get some furry erotica up in this bitch. You know, we do the best that we can trying to find a vast array of different content that we think people may enjoy. So we're gonna look out for some furry dicks for you, Brent.
Just for you.
Just for you. Little gift.
It's a gift, yeah.
We also have some beautiful Nessie fan art in there. We have some depictions of the big beast himself.
The big beast himself. throbbing abs and all.
Throbbing abs and two cocks. Just the way I like him.
Yeah.
As well as a gorgeous one. I wish I could have shared it. We didn't get the rights quick enough. Or signed things quick enough. But there's a gorgeous one of Ferguson, the captain from White for Nessie.
Steering
the boat.
Yeah, like a captain's wheel.
With his
giant
big penis out.
Yeah. And I had a thought for it. I don't want to feedback is just feedback, you know? I think this piece of art is beautiful. One thought I had, what if the dick was the spoke of the captain's wheel?
I love that.
I think it could be a nice way to marry the two things sort of already naturally going on in that picture.
If you got this custom commissioned for your house, that would be a lovely addition.
If this was like an Etsy situation and I was getting something custom made and I was like, okay. And if that was like the drafts and bad people, I'd be like, wow, this is really stunning. I hope this isn't too much work, but can you connect the wheel to his hard cock?
Yeah. I don't know a ton about Photoshop, but I feel like that wouldn't be too hard of a change.
Yeah. If it is, egg on my face.
Egg on my penis. The book for this week, as we mentioned last week, is Shared by Lumberjacks by Eddie Cleveland.
Yes, and who better to talk about this book than our two expert guests, Jess?
We're so lucky. With us, our leading character in the book is a redheaded woman from the city who wears glasses, and it's a bit of a conflict on and off. And so we knew that we had to get our redheaded glasses wearing expert, Annie.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
And provide my expertise.
Yes, your perspective is very much needed. So
yes.
This will be
good.
Crucial.
I'm glad I could share that.
We also have another expert here.
Yes.
So this book takes place in a cabin in the woods in like a wintry setting.
A lumberjack's natural environment.
Yes, that's where they're born and raised. And so to speak on trees and nature and what those are like, we have our own Jessica Clemens from Olympia, Washington.
Hi, nice to be here. Big tree enthusiast.
Jess, what's your favorite tree?
I mean, don't know a lot. If I had to choose, I would say a Douglas fir, maybe
Damn.
A cedar.
Oh, wow.
A cedar.
This
two.
Is incredible.
You got two for two.
What does a Douglas fir look like?
I don't want to criticize it because it's Black History Month. And they named it after
Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass. And it's not that big of a tree. It's kind of really shrubby, but these were the ones that were in Washington. I don't know if they were supposed to be
there. It's like a little bush.
Is it a Christmas tree?
No, that's the evergreen tree. Isn't that a pine tree?
I don't know.
You guys are questioning my expertise now.
I know. I should never. I don't mean to do that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I apologize.
I'm from a place. It has a lot of them.
And that's why you're here. And you also wear glasses.
Yeah, and I'm also a lumberjack.
Yeah.
That was a cool fact. I'm glad that I learned it today.
Me too.
Shared by Lumberjacks. The characters, in case you haven't read it, we want to help you along listening. We have our lead, Mary, a redheaded glasses-wearing woman. She writes books in the city. She writes books. They're romance novels with no sex. They're a bit more like a Hallmark movie, if you will. It's usually Christmas in them, and it's very a city woman goes out to the country and finds love there. Your typical Hallmark story.
Like an Alyssa Milano kind of vehicle. You know?
Really? Is that who you'd pick first?
I think I've seen her in Hallmark movies. I saw her in one where she had like two boyfriends, which is like a little similar to this.
Ooh.
Oh, there's the inspiration.
Maybe.
She was the inspiration for Ariel.
Milano?
I believe redhead. Wait, redhead.
It's all happening.
Wait, isn't Little Mermaid, doesn't that precede her?
No, when she was a child actress.
She was on
they took
the
her face and drew her up. And that's who Ariel is. We have so many facts today.
Also, I don't mean to do this, but I'm going to bring it back. I was completely wrong about the Douglas fir. I got it mixed up with a different tree. Douglas fir is actually a very large tree, but it does not have a lot of branches, so I'm going to hold on to half my statement.
Yeah.
I love an expert who keeps it real.
Yeah. And keep checking in with the Douglas fir kind of throughout the pod, too.
Yeah, if anything changes throughout the day.
Dude, I will.
Breaking news.
The Douglas fir is actually something else.
The Douglas fir, I was wrong.
It's important to admit when you're wrong.
Oh, you know what? It was a fake tree.
Promise to you, Jess.
Amazing.
We have Mary's agent, Nancy, who is the one who kind of has her go out to meet our lumberjacks. And then, of course, we have our lumberjacks, Hardy and Owen.
Mm.
Now, I have cast this as Tom Hardy and Owen Wilson.
Okay.
Anyone else have anyone else in mind?
I kind of imagined both of them to look like Paul Bunyan. Mm. Like huge,
so
huge,
giant.
Burly men.
Aren't
with
they
axes.
Like 8 foot?
Yeah.
Whoa! That's crazy.
Paul Bunyan, I think, also had red hair. So that...
Would you make love with an 8 foot man?
I mean,
I don't want to put you on the spot.
The situation has never presented itself.
Absolutely.
But maybe, yeah, I could then tell everybody I had sex with this dude who's 8 feet tall. Have you ever done that? Probably
I just
not.
Watched the Andre the Giant documentary, and they were talking about what a ladies' man he was. And I was like, I just don't know if I could. Mm. And I'm a bigger woman, but I think he would tear me apart.
I do wonder a bit about, like, the... How do you situate yourselves?
Yes.
When I'm 5'3". So
I'm 5'3 as well.
If somebody's... that much taller, where do your, I don't know.
Where do your
you would
parts
have to
fit?
Be on top.
He?
You.
No, yeah. You would die.
I would
crush you.
The plus side is, like, you're small enough to be, like, put places, like, on the wall or on the shoulders.
On the wall?
Like a picture. Yeah, like a framed up. Picture.
He would hang you up by your coat.
Like two Stooge kids in, like, a teen show.
Oh, my God.
So 2 8-foot tall lumberjacks live out by this cabin.
Yeah, 2 Owen Wilsons live by a cabin.
Our story begins, it's Christmas, and she's listening to some holiday hits. There's a beautiful description of the mountain view that she's driving down. And then we get a bit of a flashback as to what led her to going out to the cabin. She's with her agent, Nancy. She's sitting in a chair wearing her robin egg blue thick rim glasses, kind of hiding behind them as one does. And she's suffering from writer's block. She's a New York Times bestseller, but she just can't get this next book written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Mm-hmm. Which they're all about fucking Christmas and two men. They're all about Christmas and a guy. I don't know.
You think
what kind of writer's block? Maybe you've just written all there is to say.
I just keep thinking that maybe this is what the author thinks that women like. Is just
yes,
like
totally. Love.
And don't get me wrong, I do. There wasn't enough Christmas in the book.
No.
There wasn't.
There was no presents. There was no tree.
Yeah.
There was no wreath. There was no reindeer.
Crazy to have a lumberjack book that doesn't actually have trees.
Oh, the parts that did have trees were very sexy, and I can't wait to get to that. So the agent has her go out to the woods to kind of have, like, a bit of an inspiration. Do trees offer inspiration?
Maybe for Mary.
Yeah.
Maybe from, oh yeah, or for redheads in particular, perhaps.
Wait, I want to backtrack on one thing, which is Nancy has one of my favorite quotes of the book, Nancy, her agent, which is, a good man is hard to find and a hard man is good to find. Mm. I think that's a nice, like, sort of Christmas saying.
Mm. Like you maybe you'll find a hard man under the tree. Who knows?
Oh, you open up a Christmas card.
You know, the front of it
and
says,
then put it up on the mantle.
Yeah, the front says, a good man is hard to find. You open it, and it's like a pop-up. It's like a nativity scene. And it says, a hard man is good to find.
That is such a great line.
And it's from, like, your dad's coworker.
I want that stitched on a pillow in my living room on my couch. That's so cute.
I would totally hang with Nancy.
Yeah.
Nancy's one of the coolest people to me, and I'm so sad that she's only in like the beginning, really.
Yeah.
She's so
she takes no BS, and
you
know. If she was at that cabin, she'd be like, "What the fuck?"
But also, she cares for her friend. Her friend's hitting, or really not even friend. Like this is like a working relationship. Her client, and she takes the time to go, "Hey, I understand you're stressed. You're not hitting the deadlines. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Go out to the woods.
I'll rent you a cabin.
Airbnb.
I'll rent you a cabin.
I will rent you a cabin. I would love for somebody to rent me a cabin.
I've never been in a cabin.
What?
Are you guys serious?
Gotta hit some writer's block.
I
want
to take you to a cabin. What if this happens to us?
What if this does happen to us?
Oh my God, Reka, we are going to a cabin.
I would lose my fucking mind if this happened to us.
Cabins are so much fun.
Cabins are so amazing.
Ugh, I would love to.
I spent too much time in cabins.
I love cabins.
Expert.
Love cabins.
So she drives up and she sees the cabin. She thinks in her mind it's going to be one thing. What do you think, maybe? Let's hear from someone who hasn't been to a cabin.
I was like so confused. I was like, a cow what? I was so confused. I think I thought it would be like, because she was also hyping up all the cabins she has been to that are very nice and very cozy. So I was kind of expecting that.
Well, I'm talking about Airbnbs that give her wine and fruit baskets. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I literally stayed at an Airbnb where the person also stayed there in their room and there was a cat that threw up.
All I get is like a pan full of bacon fat. Yeah. Like I don't get a bottle of wine when I go to an Airbnb.
Yeah,
and
no.
And she's in a nice bottle of wine. So
yeah.
She's used to we the luxury.
One apples. Not in a box.
How can she tell when it's nice?
The picture on the front, you idiot.
If the picture is like a painting kind of thing, it's nice. If it's like a cartoon fish, it's bad.
Oh, my God. So she gets there, and it's not quite what she thinks. It's a little crappier.
Yeah,
it's one that maybe I'd stay
at. I think as a shack.
Yeah.
So I imagined it to be kind of like just like a small like room with this like stone staircase going up to a bedroom, but like a hot plate, not even like a stove.
Yeah,
really.
I think so. I mean, they do make pancakes later, which I'm like, okay, wow. That's
and
like
she does
ambitious.
Cook dinner.
I think it's a nice cabin. I think she's just used to like
she's
luxury.
Just bougie as shit. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she wears blue rimmed glasses.
That is true.
Right.
Yeah, she does
say
seem
they were,
pretty
like,
bougie
or anything.
She's
yeah.
very bougie.
So she has to kind of force her way in. It's a little difficult. She's not seeing the owner. She is seeing down the hill. There's like another cabin and a truck. Mm-hmm.
And she's hearing eventually as she starts to write. A lot of buzzing noises
and
things that are disturbing her process.
And how could she possibly focus with any outside noise?
She's
There's
coming,
never any of that in New York.
New York City. She's coming from New York City. She's not used to this kind of thing.
I love the introduction of the men. I love that she sits down and we hear this like, vroom, and
which
she says
I,
it sounds like 10 million mosquitoes on steroids.
Mm-hmm. The metaphor.
I know exactly what that sounds like.
Yeah. And they're all juicing into
fucking. And then she keeps hearing it, and then she goes and sees that there's two men down there, and she describes watching them the manly way they make nature bend to their will. I thought that was hot as fuck.
That's very nice.
You rolled your eyes. That's hot as fuck.
That's
like,
nice.
Oh my God, okay, we get it.
It's like an airbender.
That was like the first sort of sexy like phrasing we heard, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, like Avatar
Keep
the Last Airbender.
Someone hot. Like,
you know, something hot like that series.
Don't you think someone bending nature to their will is sexy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Paul Bunyan did that. He created the Grand Canyon.
Oh, my God. Grandmother Willow. So.
So she's kind of checking them out down there, but she's also a little irritated by them, and she keeps pushing up her glasses because she's uptight and she doesn't like these forest men.
And her glasses don't fit.
And she's promised this quiet getaway.
Yeah,
and
that
so
is
she
true.
Feels like she didn't get yes. what she mm-hmm. signed up for.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she takes things into her own hands a little bit.
Baby.
And this is one of those books that switches perspectives.
Which I always love.
Yes. Which I like. And we kind of jump into Hardy's perspective.
Yes. And we get this sensual description. I wrote down the sound of the saw. Sawdust floating like snowflakes. Hard work equals good pay. Work carefully, not destroying the world.
I was so on board for this.
Yes.
I dug this
They
a lot.
Seemed like very kind of eco-friendly
Which
lumberjacks.
Is, yeah, cool.
And I was like, damn, we're about to get into it.
And one of my other favorite parts of this
oh,
book
goodness.
Is when Owen and Hardy are just casually talking about their lumberjacking business, which has been passed on
yes.
from somebody's
yes.
great-grandfather, because I don't think they're related.
Yeah, they're not.
No, and we never know their relationship.
We don't know if they're related.
We don't know.
They're just co-workers and roommates?
I guess so.
I think they're cousins.
Oh,
it's just a thought I have.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me like it more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they okay, said Jim. Their grandfather.
Did it and say their? Okay. I don't
I
remember.
Thought it was just like both their grandpas worked together and they by like just had to be friends because they're like, oh, it's the lumberjack.
There's not many other people up
yeah.
there
in the yeah. forest cutting trees. Each other.
Well, basically, she comes down to one of my favorite parts of the book is they're talking about lumberjacking and Owen, they're talking yes, about how yes. they like need to keep the business going.
Yes. Yes.
And he goes, haven't you ever heard of passive income? Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Why they need to keep the cabin going? Like why they can't, why like, they're renting out to someone who's annoying and like why don't they stop doing that? Have you ever heard of passive income, man?
Yes.
It's called diversifying.
Yes.
I think that is incredible.
I thought that was,
that was
this
he knows.
Business savvy Owen. I am all for
yeah,
Owen.
He
Wilson
said he
in
wanted
this book.
To have a vacation rental empire.
Yes.
This is their only property as of now, but you gotta start somewhere.
And yes. their first client.
And yeah. honestly,
yes. and it's already kind of failing.
It's yeah.
incredibly hot.
And she's been there 10 minutes.
He's a terrible
plan? Get
all,
out of here.
Of it.
I was so into that.
So she calls them out. They start getting into a bit of a confrontation. She's saying, you guys got to keep it down. Hardy in particular. Owen's kind of the one trying to keep the peace most of the time. Mm-hmm. But Hardy's the one who's like, you're just an uptight city woman.
Yeah, Hardy sucks.
And the book gets a little meta, too. It kind of starts to talk about what happens in typical romance novels, mm-hmm. Which I found somewhat interesting. I was like, oh, is this going to be like the whole book? Like, it's a bit of a meta take
yeah.
and we're gonna like subvert the things that usually happen. It doesn't. But you know, sometimes you just read it and you gotta think some things in your head.
And this is the first time we kind of get a little taste of sex. Because Hardy
Rika, how dare you?
Sorry. Hardy describes seeing her. I wrote chest. I'm fairly sure he says tits. And butt. He probably says ass.
Yeah.
Through her coat, which immediately, here's the thing. As a woman, she is either wearing a pea coat, which is not warm, in the dead of winter in upstate New York, which is crazy, or he's full of shit because she's
yeah.
wearing like a Gore-Tex fucking giant
yeah,
marshmallow.
Like a down yeah. coat.
I was like, you can't see anything through an actual winter coat for most people.
I mean, I think he was, well, I thought he was talking about more that you could see it from the side. You
but
know that when you're like
the
booty's
so
booty
big.
So big.
I guess the booty is so big. If the booty is really that big, like
it's
I guess
a possibility.
So.
He does describe it as her big, beautiful ass sways back and forth as she marches back up the hill.
Like a
and
duck.
Doesn't
crack,
she
crack,
fall
crack, crack, crack.
On a patch of snow
she
and
does.
Screams? And he, the first word he uses to describe her is shrill.
He says shrill.
Yeah,
and I was like,
very annoying.
Great,
yeah.
Hardy.
He's
it's
like,
a bit of a bummer what
it's That's why Tom Hardy is playing him.
Hardy,
you think Tom Hardy's a jerk?
No.
His Wait, name is Hardy.
Tom Hardy probably isn't. Hardy certainly is.
Yes.
No,
yes.
No. But I think Tom Hardy would say this in the role. Like, he would be really good at playing this part.
Of course he would.
And I'm going to imagine
him. Oh, my God.
Of course he would
I'm
be.
Sorry.
Jesus.
I
gotta
was
start a Tom Hardy podcast. I really love that, man.
Hardy working. Here's where we get to the good stuff. We get to Owen's chapter. And I love Owen. I will be with Owen.
He's sweet.
And fine. I like him. And one thing that we hear in this chapter that I highlight, I wrote.
Read it aloud.
She has brown eyes. Yes, bitch. That is the closest, second closest or closest we've come to having a person of color as a protagonist, which is so fucking sad. She is certainly white, but at least she has brown eyes and not mystical blue eyes like every fucking protagonist in every fucking thing on earth.
She has mystical blue glasses, though.
She does.
So,
and they do. Sorry, Reka.
Yeah.
Get out of here with your dumb blue eyes, Jessica.
Devil.
That defy the laws of nature. They're recessive.
Oh my gosh.
So Mary goes back up to her cabin upset. Owen doesn't want to lose diversifying his portfolio. Who among us would? So he goes up to make sure he doesn't get a one-star review. He describes her as she's kind of fallen on the floor upset by this encounter.
Yeah, she's crying in a ball on the floor. My God. I thought that was a little extreme.
She broke her suitcase. She broke the handle on her suitcase. I get it. Oh, it's upsetting.
She described that she writes romantic novels to him, and Hardy basically kind of ridicules her for it. Like, oh, those dumb kind of, what kind do you write? Like Hallmark or 50 Shades?
He shits on 50 Shades.
And he didn't seem to like either.
Yeah. No.
He wants like, fuck it.
Yeah. if he reads, he's which like, he doesn't because she's a man.
I think there's a part in it where he's just like, women want to be fucked. That's all they want. And I was like, okay,
he says
Hardy,
it a lot.
Down.
Yeah,
he's very. I don't think he's met a lot of women.
Hugely philosophical about a group of people he doesn't know.
And he
about.
Says that she doesn't know how to write real men because
her men are like considerate.
Yes, considerate nice. And thoughtful and like want romance. And he's like, that's not a real man. A real man will, you know, bend you to he your will, to. Like I do with
like
nature.
Like I do with nature.
Yeah. So I sort. I don't know.
He wants we'll to treat a woman down. Like a log.
We'll tear you down like a. Like I do.
I was curious because he kind of implies that no man, even one who are your friends and are being nice, really feel that way and they just want to fuck you.
Which is so boring and stupid.
Yeah. Do you think it's true? Deep down inside.
That all men
want
to fuck me? Wait, are we talking about
that? Well, that is true.
Yeah, just in particular.
Like, yeah.
I just wonder. What? I wish I had the power that Taraji has and what men want, and I wish I just knew for a day if that Taraji. Is truly what everyone thought.
Yeah.
And if I kind of liked it.
Well, I think part of the meta thing that's interesting is like Hardy is saying all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Now we're in Owen's chapter. She's crying. Owen says, She goes, it's stupid, I'm crying. And he goes, it's not stupid if you're crying. Oh. Which is one of those male characters that Hardy is saying is not real. Yeah. That is now being also written into.
So he is real.
Yeah. Oh my God, Owen. You had me at crying.
You
had me at diversifying passive income.
Yep, a man that's about money.
And he fixes her suitcase, which is, you know, so just so hot. Thoughtful. So,
yeah. It seemed really simple in the book.
Oh my God. It
and he
like,
popped it back
it
in.
It's like when like, the lid pops off of like your remote or something.
He was just like, okay.
When she describes getting into the cabin too, she like hits it with her elbow and then she's like, I had such a sense of accomplishment. Yeah. I'm like, you are a best-selling author.
But I lifted a box.
He describes as he's seeing her, which I liked this part. I imagine easing my cock between her full lips, watching it disappear into her mouth inch by inch. So he's fantasizing this. Nothing sexual between them has happened yet, besides kind of the chemistry flying. But I just like hearing a man's perspective as to maybe what a blowjob would be like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we know how I feel about Owen. I love it.
We know how I feel. I love it. So they have a bit of a moment. Talk about her curve. She's a curvy woman.
Which I hope, you know, leave that to your imagination. If that means actually curvy or if she's like a size 2.
With a little boob and butt.
Yeah.
With a little boob butt.
He might go home and jerk off to the experience afterwards. It's how chapter ends.
I thought that was a great ending to the chapter.
I love that. Yeah.
What a nice.
A little cliffhanger. Yeah. Will he, won't he?
ooh. And here's an action chapter.
Yes, yes, we do have a little bit of action. This book has some romance, some sex, some action. Before we even get to the sexual action, yes, we get into an adventure scene.
Oh, this is really exciting.
Yeah, she's feeling inspired. She's imagining herself on a La La Land-esque date with Owen.
They say La La Land.
Literally
say
it.
Read in a book.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we've lived long enough to see La La Land in a book.
In an erotic novel.
Exactly. Never lived long enough.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that book must not be too old then. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, written in the last, like, year or two.
Yeah. So she's going to write, she's inspired, and she's writing a book about lumberjacks. So we're even in, like, a bit of a, you know, going deeper into the meta hole here.
Yeah, she starts writing her hero.
Yes.
Which is based off a lumberjack, or is a lumberjack. Mm-hmm. But she's stunted when it comes to writing the female lead. So
she's
that's why she goes
lost
on this walk in the woods.
Oh, my gosh. This is this part.
She's too scary. It was Hardy, and she's a bit cranky at him again, and he's kind of yelling at her from a distance, and she's like, this asshole.
She thinks he says, he yells up at her that he wants to strip her bare.
Yes.
And she's like, he couldn't possibly have said that, and she
a man I only met once
away.
Yeah. Yes. Who I'm renting a cabin from couldn't possibly have screamed that at me from a distance.
But, like, she was thinking about
it. It was a warning, and, like, I don't know, there was a giant animal coming at me.
Go, go, go! Keep saying, keep going. I want to hear what happens next. I remember what happens
next. He doesn't want to strip her bare. There is a bear.
There is
a
bear
behind. A brown, like, flash walk by her.
Woman of color.
And then it's a bear. A giant bear.
Okay, good. Got it.
And she screams because she's so startled by this bear. And the bear, I don't know, stands up on its legs.
I don't
growls at her.
I don't want to be that person, but I know bears. You know?
Double expert. Whoa.
Nature, bears, same difference.
Yeah.
So you don't scream at a bear and just stand there. In the book, that's what she did.
Yeah.
And then when Hardy came to the rescue, because he's Hardy, he has to. Yeah, who else would it be? Owen's gone. And he just starts fighting. He stares down the bear and starts screaming at it.
He scares away the bear.
I thought you did make loud noises. I thought you go away!
I thought you were supposed to curl up in a ball.
I thought you were supposed to make yourself big.
Cougars were supposed to be big.
Cougars? Who has warnings about cougars?
Maybe it's in Washington. Maybe it is. I thought mountain lions were supposed to be, like, loud and big, and bears you're supposed, because bears will still come at you, especially if there's, like, a cub.
Wait, this is dangerous. We have two opposing views on how to deal with the bear. You either get really, really small, or you get really, really big.
I think you make a lot of noise. I think you curl up into a ball. He's going to come and eat you like a tomato.
But they don't eat
like
dead things.
Like a tomato.
That's why you're supposed to be dead.
He curled up into a ball.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He thinks you're dead. Yeah, oh, I can't eat this. It's dead.
Yeah, bears are like that.
No.
They're weird.
They like to kill.
Did you see The Revenant?
Oh, my God. Do not start with
that. He goes to town on that man who's, and he's crawling around. He might as well be dead.
But he's a lot. Okay, either way.
When I see a bear, I think it's a house. And so I, like in The Revenant.
Crawl? Crawl away from it.
Diversifying my passive income. Use this bear as a house.
This part was scary. I was chased by a moose once, insane. So anything with That's wild scary. Animals really gets me.
Yeah.
So he saves her.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about?
The next chapter.
She's saved. She's very thankful, and she says, to thank you, I'm going to cook you dinner.
And at first they decline. They're like, we have food. We don't need your dinner.
By we mean Hardy.
Can I say,
Owen would have said yes.
Okay, one time Katie, Raff, and I were hanging out, and I was like, oh, we were like near my apartment, and we got ice cream. And I was like, oh, do you guys want to like come back and like we can watch TV, like watch something or whatever. And Katie was like, yeah. And then Raff goes, no, I have a TV.
That's rude.
And I was like,
that's rude, Raff.
Yeah, I'm not inviting you over for a novel experience. I was like, if you want to keep hanging out, my apartment is here.
Yeah, but is your TV a color television? Or is it black and white?
It's color. Like, it was just so stupid. So you should make fun of Raff for that. Anyway.
So they go to her house. She cooks them a lovely meal. She's telling them a story about a time when she went to a party dressed as a sexy maid.
Oh, yeah.
A Halloween party.
At a professor's house, by the way.
It's a wild party. So she dresses up for the wild party as a sexy maid. She goes, and everyone else is dressed more in...
someone's dressed like
Dorian Gray.
Yes, yes. And we come to find it was an Oscar Wilde party.
Wild with an E.
And she left, and that was the last of her sexual experiences.
The last of her sexual experiences, to be clear, is her wearing a maid outfit to a party.
Yeah, and not even going to the party.
Yeah, yeah, she never got that racy again. Yeah.
And, yeah. At this dinner, as she's telling this story and they're all laughing and having a good time, she talks about how she makes very good pie. And the pie is, in fact, very juicy.
A juicy and pie sweet. Would be bad.
Ooh, yeah, sweet. Soggy
sweet
bottom.
Pie.
It'd be a soggy bottom.
Oop. Yeah, I would never use the word juicy to describe pie.
Maybe the inside.
Maybe that's what she means.
Not too juicy.
It's just, it's more... wet? I don't know. Juicy to me.
Either way.
Yeah.
Well, juicy to me means when you bite into it, it like bursts.
Spurts.
Maybe that's the pie she's making. Maybe it's like a sloppy
pie. A whole peach.
You've never had Mary's pie, okay?
Yeah. I made my famous sloppy
Mary Berry.
You want a sloppy pie?
Mary Berry.
Oh, no. Don't bring Mary Berry in there.
I love her. Oh,
she doesn't need to be here.
So that's the description. She does the glasses.
So Hardy, of course, hearing this story, gives her a bit of a hard time. Why don't you let your freak flag fly? Why do you hide behind those glasses? And I keep bringing up the glasses because I resent the whole glasses storyline. As someone who wears glasses, sometimes people just need glasses to see.
But and they get okay. they comment on like why do you need to wear glasses? Like the right.
I had a YouTube comment one and it said, "What does she think she's doing wearing those glasses?" And I went, "I'm seeing you, stupid bitch.
Boom.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Do you think and even if someone is wearing fake glasses as an accessory, who the fuck cares? It's like you're wearing a baseball hat. Who
catch
cares?
This. Catch this. Here's your fucking argument. I'm about to go to town right now. You know why maybe women wear fake glasses to seem less sexual at their jobs? Why would a woman need to play down her sexuality at her job?
Pop quiz.
Why would that happen? Go fuck yourself. Oh, my God.
Everybody, from this podcast, if you get anything, it's go fuck yourself.
Oh, it hits me in a way. I'm like, how dare you? I can't even see. How much of me has to be policed right now that I can't even fucking see with my eyes? These sons of bitches. Fuck you, Hardy.
Jess, it's okay.
Yes.
Hardy,
and then
if you're
watching. Just fuck me on the couch.
Yes. Get that juicy pie.
I think you can have both. I think I can wear glasses and be fucked by two men.
And that's the kind of 2019 we want to live in.
That's the 2019 I want myself, I want my daughters to live in.
Where they can be fucked while wearing glasses.
Yes. Because this is going to be passed down.
Oh my God, this is Jess's Martin Luther King March on Washington speech.
For all you women out there with glasses.
That wear glasses.
You can get fucked too.
My God, we haven't even gotten to the sex in this book yet.
We're let's do it.
There. We are right there.
Because my favorite part comes in the sex part.
What's your favorite part?
Ooh, I have it ready.
So they get into a bit of a fight, kind of like this. Maybe I'm getting heated because I'm thinking about the fight in this book. And then he's like, you know, why won't you do it? And she's like, well, why haven't you kissed me already?
You haven't even tried.
Yes.
A nice challenge.
Yeah. And they rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
They kiss. Yeah. And then they do it.
And she said it's like the best kiss of her life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's never felt something like that from a kiss before.
Yeah.
During it, I just love that Owen's in the back. And Hardy's in the front.
Always. Yes. It's kind of like dogs. Well,
and one thing, she said she was scared of Owen entering her
front. No, wait. Let me talk about
okay.
it. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I have it right here. Owen hooks his fingers under the waistband of my underwear and tugs it down my ass until it's exposed. He licks a long line up my crack and then dives his tongue in against my forbidden entrance. My head falls back and my body tightens as the sensation overwhelms me. I'll tell you why this part gets me. Bitch, it's an asshole. Just call it an asshole.
Not a forbidden entrance.
I thought it an entrance.
What? There was a password to enter.
That's why not forbidden in this book. They go in there all the time.
Owen shoves his tongue 20 times.
They're in there like it's their fucking diversified extra room.
Yes, diversified that booty hole.
The hidden temple. They gotta put the shrine and the silver monkey together
in her asshole.
Nom, 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 nom.
And then there's a temple guard that comes out.
Another thing about her forbidden entrance, when Owen starts putting his dick inside of it, she's like, he like starts just like kind of going in softly, and then all of a sudden it's right in there. Is that not dry as fuck?
That's
like
not how
you
it
had
works.
No lube. It just went right happens, in. She said he's huge.
It happens so. Often. They love describing it's my first time with something in my butt, and he was gentle at first, and then instantly like bow 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 bow.
Yeah, I was, and
it's
she's
always
never
gonna be the first.
Taken it up the ass before.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
This book, more than any other, read to me like a porn transcript once it got to the sex. It was very much, and it was like, I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
But it was just so much more, it was like porn that I would watch. It was like, oh, yeah, fuck me. Yeah, all right. But, And more than other books where it's like, and then he touched the curve of my blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It was so hella bareback. It was just like, no condom, just coming straight in.
Yeah.
Oh, there are no condoms in any of these books.
This was the nastiest thing I read in any of the books. Both penetrate her at the same time, making her moan like a feral animal.
Yes, and she talked about that a few times, like her like animal instincts. She just couldn't keep in the sounds she was
this
making.
This bitch is primal.
But it was
a feral animal. Someone described me like a feral animal?
She is an
That's
unfriendly
sick.
Cat on the street.
Ah! Yeah, those cats scream nasty too.
She's in the heat and she's
that's
ready.
What it is. Dude takes at her and she's like,
maybe that's what they like, you guys, okay?
And the
we're
guys
not here to kink shame.
Never had a conversation about fucking her together. It just like kind of happened.
Definitely not their first time.
Yeah, definitely not their first time.
What is that between the two men? These books never go into that too. What does that say
the
about
sex,
that?
No, they just school their children.
The sex
not talk to each other now.
Was always from her perspective. It was always in the Mary chapters. Mm-hmm. And I wanted either Owen or Hardy's perspective of
especially
the sexual
Owen.
Encounter.
Love to hear,
and they're
yeah.
like him being like, I didn't want to touch Owen's cock or
our
whatever.
Part of it that gets him off is like, and then I looked over it. And he was doing this and I saw his like shining
chest.
Yeah,
they obviously get off on that because he bosses her around. He's like, you're gonna suck Owen's cock right now.
Yeah.
So they're into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I would love, you're absolutely right. I would have loved to have heard it from their perspective and hear what they're taking in.
Another thing at the end when they're done and they're like in this tangled web of each other's limbs, she's like, all I care about is them. And all they care about is me. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, right.
You just
I was definitely reading it, and I was like, I need to learn more about this. Because I felt bad that I was just like, how does she do this? Like, I feel like I would fight all the time. I would do all this. And I was like, oh, I guess there are couples that are, like, sharing.
There are people in relationships like this, and it works
and
for
I'm
them.
Like, they work.
I love it.
I'm
love
very
it.
Here for it.
I think that's valuable to see in Aronica, but I do agree with Annie that, like, only insofar as, like, everybody's viewpoint is valuable because it is very typical to see just the hetero sort of part of that.
Yeah.
Right now it's more just they adore me as opposed to like if we're a unit that functions all together, what are you two meant to each other? Yeah. And what do we all get out of this relationship and what, you know? And I
the dynamic.
I like it. Then they have pancakes.
This is a little off topic, but I did appreciate that her, like, she has, like, a little bit of a belly.
Yes.
That they talk about. I do wonder, like, what the fuck that means. Because we were saying this is a male author.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or at least not a woman or non-binary author.
Yeah.
I appreciate a good stomach jiggle. I do wonder, I'm like, okay, like, but what do you think a stomach is? Do you think, like, or, like, is it a stomach?
Is it, like,
it's like, is it a stomach? That's what I want to know. But
I loved
it.
I was here for the nod to a stomach.
Yes.
Like, and that shows how much that, like, it's sad because I'm like,
it's never
I just need, like, that one little affirmation that, like, it's a stomach. That it's a woman that has, like a, she's
and
thick.
And they mention it a few times. She talks about it, and the men also talk about it, like, as they, like, stroke her belly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Truly, representation is so important.
It's
important. We even said she is the closest to a woman of color because she had brown eyes. That's very sad.
I am pulling from the bottom of the barrel, people.
It's also all the opposite of my life experience. Like most people I'm with have a little something, and then when the very few times someone has been more ripped, I'm like,
you're like,
whoa!
You're like, damn.
And you're screaming like a feral cat.
Meow.
Damn, I'm so sexy.
Sorry, anyone listening to this and it's upsetting your animals at home, or maybe not upsetting them.
Yeah, pet play.
So they spend the night. Nice. They make some pancakes. She still has a little bit of writer's block, and she thinks she's made a mistake. And they're like, "Well, let's just chill and be friends. We don't have to do this. Let's go frolic in the snow together." So they all go tobogganing.
This scene where they're in this, like, you know, beautiful winter escape, you know, with the sled and everything. And she's saying, like, I never saw them in this light before. Mm. I kind of imagined that scene in Beauty and the Beast where it's like, there must be something there that wasn't there before. Like, she's like, I had no idea that these guys could be so sweet and playful. I just thought they were burly lumberjacks. And she's like... You know, and I don't know, the winter.
I love that. Yeah.
Jess Clemens, you're freaking at this
scene. I'm freaking because I was like,
Beast is burly like
is
them.
Is Hardy and Owen. Beast
this is
both.
Beauty and the Beast
Thank you.
Illusion.
And Beauty like, and the Beast.
Belle loves Ooh. Books. Mary writes books. I'm just saying.
Annie is on to something and we need to get into it.
This is why we have experts here.
And then all the plates and cutlery they were using.
And all the that plates danced. And cutlery they fucked.
It was Lumiere.
It all makes sense.
Oh my God, they were fucked fucking that plate.
That candlestick she shoved up her ass.
That was Lumiere. In her Forbidden Entrance.
Cogsworth, not Cogsworth.
You use Lumiere to see into the Forbidden Entrance.
Annie said it's Cogsworth, not
Cogsworth.
Instead
of Chip, it's
Chip and Dale.
Clit and
Instead
Chip.
Of Chip, it's cock. But of course, they can't keep their little cold mittens off each other. They start doing it outside, which doing it in the snow does not sound like
horrible.
Anything I'd want to do.
She said she really liked it. She liked the brisk wind.
Yes. Maybe it's great. Ooh.
Which I was like.
Oh, on her nips.
On nips, good.
I feel like
yes.
They burn a lot.
Also, something they all, whenever they all start fucking, she's always standing up. Yeah. And they're like taking her from both sides. And one time she was like, I straddled my step wider so that they could like eat me out or whatever. But I was like, why are you always standing up when you fuck them?
Because I think double penetration is harder
easier.
When you're lying down.
Yeah.
I guess
well,
I mean, you
could
be
on all
fours.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
below
yeah.
You
we need, a, we need a physics expert on here. We can't really figure this out.
I did like in this scene, they finger her and then have her take a little taste, and she describes it as slurping off my honey.
Yes.
And... Oh, you don't like that. No one can see this. Our cameraman does not like that.
He hates it.
But I like it. It was my favorite description of vaginal secretion that I've heard. Yeah. I also just really like honey.
Yeah, honey tastes really good.
Yeah, honey's just yummy and it's good for your allergies. So.
And one of them.
Fun fact, when Winnie the Pooh's eating all that honey, it's actually vaginal secretion.
I read a book where someone referred to it as like milk, and I was like, I don't like that.
No,
I was like, I don't like that.
Because
milk,
milk
is not from your vagina.
Yeah. If it's actually coming out of your vagina, that to me is like, oh, you have a yeast infection.
Yeah,
or something
it's
like
bad.
That.
You shouldn't be
milk
fucking two lumberjacks.
Milk.
Okay, so if honey comes out of my puss, it's fine.
It's actually great. It's really good for you.
Okay.
And I also describe her pussy as shaved.
Yes, I was
chapter,
about to say
which
that.
Which I was like. Okay.
And a sweet pie.
Yeah, well, and I was kind of like, it's the dead of winter. She's not romantically involved with anybody back in the city. So I was like, you have a shaved vagina. Like, people can remove their hair for whatever reason. But I was like, who are you shaving it for?
Because that's
for herself.
Yeah,
girl.
I keep it childlike for myself.
Yeah, I just enjoy myself that way better.
I just like
and
it.
I love the itchy, awful feeling of when it grows back.
Oh, damn.
That's the, wait a minute. What is she thinking?
I love throwing out my razor every time I'm finished because it's just destroyed with hair.
Absolutely, with curls.
That's insane.
They eat each other out, suck, fuck, all that. She rips off her glasses. Oh, I loved this line. So many good lines in this one, I will say. I want to see the real you, princess, the dirty slut who wants two fat cocks inside her at the same time. I want to look in your eyes while you gag on my 10 inches. Hardy wants her to stay, but what will people think?
Weird flex, but okay.
10 inches is...
It's a lot.
Not that much. Oh.
Not that much. So it's almost a ruler.
Remember when we were talking about having sex with a guy who's 8 feet tall?
I know that's like, true. I was like, "Ooh, Andre the Giant, tell me more."
Not that much. I almost feel like, I almost feel like pain just talking about it.
Does this get edited?
No.
No.
I can only go off what the guy says his inches is. How would I ever know otherwise?
You're gonna pull out a tape measure.
Jess Clemens, a ruler is like this big.
My pussy's like this deep. No, I'm joking.
And they are girthy, it's like too. This.
Oh, that's true.
They are gentlemen.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
She talks about Owen.
Owen. She said Owen was a fucking polenta log or something.
Well, she at one point describes Owen's dick as swaying back and forth like a pendulum, and that I laughed out loud because I'm imagining it swaying back and forth. Now that's Cocksworth.
Oh, that is Cocksworth. Hold on to this.
The
put it in the back
the beast,
pocket,
guys. I'm telling you,
we can be bestseller on Amazon.
Jesus Christ.
Me and Eddie Cleveland.
They have wonderful sex, but she's a bit conflicted now. This just isn't who she is. She's a woman who wears glasses.
She doesn't fuck cocks.
Yeah, she's not the type of woman who has sex with two men.
Definitely not. She's never shared a man. And she
She
loves having both of them.
The New York Times, that same morning after all of this has happened, has written just kind of a thing about her, not in a book in particular. You know how the New York Times does.
They kind of review people.
Just about how great she is in general and how her books are ones you can share with your daughter. But that's not the life she's leading. She's leading a life of a woman without glasses. And she decides to drive off and leave the boys, not tell them.
Rude.
But on her drive, something happens.
Something horrible happens. She starts hearing like a rumbling, and then an avalanche happens. Can you believe?
All of the incidents that are just like random and like, oh no. There's so many of them.
Nature is punishing her.
The avalanche really threw me for a loop. I was not expecting that.
Yeah,
it crushes her car.
Yeah.
And she screams, Owen Hardy, but they obviously can't hear her.
Because she's stuck under
an avalanche and she's down the road.
Yeah.
And then is it Owen that wakes up?
Hardy wakes up because I think it was so beautiful that he wakes up in the morning and he doesn't see her there.
And then he curses her name.
He goes, I knew what I had to do. I had to piss.
Yeah.
And they said that specifically, which maybe from a male, maybe like a man would read this and be like, wow, I'm so glad that they mentioned this.
It's really real.
Because this feels really
it's
real.
It's really relatable.
I was just like, I don't care.
The coffee spurting.
I wrote down
the coffee thing too. Spurting.
There was like just a paragraph
like there's
about
no water left. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, when he's like, I don't even wait for it to finish brewing. It's still spurting, but
he's
I take
so
a sip
hot.
Anyway.
I just put my mouth under
it like a fucking slut.
Ooh, he has no taste buds, and I'm here for
it. He's like, I need the caffeine.
I got that pour over into my mouth.
Yeah. But then he hears the avalanche, or he feels it, and he's like, Mary looks outside the window. Her car is gone. He shakes Owen awake.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta go find her.
What does sound like?
I guess just like
poop splat. Yeah, poop splat.
Also, Owen's like so dizzy coming out, and like then Owen changes.
Yeah,
Owen turns.
He gets mad because he thought him and Mary had something special. Him, Hardy, and Mary had something special, and couldn't believe she just tried to leave.
Yeah.
So they both get pretty mad at her.
Their feelings are hurt.
In a reasonable way.
Yes.
She could have went to get groceries. They don't even know.
They don't fucking know.
That would have been so funny.
And
she's like, I was going to Starbucks.
Cursing her out. And then Hardy realizes.
Well, they rescue her.
They do rescue her. And Hardy realizes, because I wrote, Hardy shows growth. He realizes he does not just like her. In one way, it's not to fuck her or share her, but to talk to her.
Yeah.
Those are the feelings
Damn.
He's feeling for the first
the
time.
The three emotions.
Yeah. Fuck, share, talk.
Also, when they dig her out of the car, they break the back windshield, and she's been passed out. They're like screaming her name. They think she's dead.
Did the snow fall through?
And then all of a sudden, she wakes up, and they're like, can you climb out the back? And she's like, yeah, I've got it. And she climbs out. I'm like, you were just knocked unconscious by an avalanche. And they're like, do you think you can get out on your own? And he like just like pushes her ass out.
She needs to go to the hospital.
Yeah. And she had blood dripping from her head. She
Let's not forget that he left Owen in the car, and Owen had to pull himself out.
Yeah.
Owen made sure that was in the
car. Owen can take care of himself.
Owen was like, okay, don't grab my hand.
They also check out her ass while she's passed out. Like, even then, they're like, ooh, and her perfect ass.
Her perfect tight ass.
They really loved her ass, so.
They called it tight all the time.
It was a
That's really
movie.
Great.
They go back to the house. They kind of settle things. And then they make love for one last time on the aisle.
Wait a minute.
They fight
the kitchen
first.
Island.
They fight. And yes. Did we mention her glasses break in this
yes,
accident?
And that's and she is very
released.
Symbolic.
The Horcrux is released.
it is there.
One
it
thing
happened.
They, when they're making up, they're like, how could you leave us? And she's like, I'm sorry. This is where I need to be. They say they're falling in love with each other. They like both prop her up on the corner of the kitchen counter. And she says to them, I need to fuck. And yeah. I just thought that, like, she was like, I whimpered it out. I tried to Ooh, sound what, demanding,
oh,
but I sounded like I was whining.
Up here, I need to suck
I
your
need
cock.
To suck your
I try to sound commanding, but it comes off desperate.
Yeah, I was waiting for her at one point to, like, take charge. I wanted her to, like, do yeah. more yeah. of a 180 and be like, you, there. Like, you know.
That's true. That would.
I wanted her to take charge.
I would have fully got off if she did.
Yeah.
Oh, but we were just part.
I did. I was part there. Away, yeah. Stopped myself.
And if these penises were like twice the size.
Yeah, like maybe 20 inches. Maybe a yard.
I regret what I said.
Maybe like
now.
A foot-long hoagie type situation.
Yeah. And then maybe like 2 feet like wide or something.
The chapter ends. This is where I belong, where I'll always stay. And then we have an epilogue of twin boys chasing each other laughing.
Princess.
And she's pregnant with another
boys.
Child.
Please, oh, daddy.
Please. Are we to assume these twin boys will go off and be just like Hardy and Owen?
I guess so.
I imagined, and this is like, it is possible, but it's very rare to happen, that one of the twins was Owen's and the other one was Hardy's.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, like
which can happen.
It can happen. Very rare, but biologically possible.
Artificial insemination of like, two.
No, I think you can, like, if you have sex with two guys yeah. and they
oh.
finish inside of you, like, really close
but
together.
But Owen, though, is finishing in her ass.
That's true.
Maybe it dripped. Maybe
but every now and then, from the bud.
From the bud.
With enough true love in the butt, you can be impregnated.
If there's enough nut in the butt.
Great.
Enough nut in
we
the
never
butt.
Hear, though, about, she stays in the woods with them forever, and we never hear about what she told people.
What happened
also, like,
with
she
the book?
Can't ever go back to New York City.
No.
They didn't ever want to live her
that
life.
That was her no. fake self. Her fake self for that point up to her life yeah. was all pretend, and now,
and now
her real
she writes
self
fake erotic
self
novels.
Had, like 10, 20 vision. Her real self was like 25, 20 vision.
She's
yeah.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. Yeah. She now she's writes erotic novels, not romance novels, and her fans have accepted that that's who she is.
She's
so.
Hot.
And that's nice. Shared by Lumberjacks.
Perfect. What did we think? Our scale, just so you guys know, as our guest, is usually dry as a desert to flip it off my chair. So, like, 1 to 5.
Okay. Just from, like, a sexual, like, or, like,
whatever
as,
your
a, as,
said.
A,
like
as for, literature.
For
you
wet
can also
for Nessie,
give it multiple.
I rated it on monster sex and human sex. Mm. So I had different numbers for both.
Okay.
So it's whatever you want.
I'm going to give it, I think, a 3.5.
Okay.
Because
wow.
I kind of wanted there to be some sort of conflict where, like, she goes off just with Hardy or goes off just with Owen. Mm. And they had, I wanted, it was always the three of them.
I thought I was going to get that conflict, but it never
yeah.
did.
Yeah. But I give it a 3.5. I liked it. So thank you, Eddie Cleveland.
Yes.
Yeah.
For writing this book.
And as someone who maybe relates so much to the lead character as well.
Yeah,
now, you are wearing your glasses today.
Yes, I am wearing them. I thought it would help me channel Mary. I don't always wear these.
It's not because you're feeling like sort of prissy and uptight today?
Well, I always feel
okay.
that way.
Cool. I just was wondering where your real self was.
I mean, I'm my true self when I take these off.
See,
but I can't
now
do
I
that in the work,
now
guys.
Now this makes sense.
I'm at work.
Yeah.
What?
I'm at work. I can't get wild
guys,
and crazy.
So inappropriate that you just asked me that.
Jessica?
On the scale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like after reading it, I'm like a water park slide that's been off for 4 hours.
Oh!
You know, like, I can still make
Whoa.
It down. It's not wet.
Wait, what do you mean you could still make it down?
Because it's a slide. I mean, due to gravity, I'm still going to go.
But
right.
it's going to hurt.
Right.
Well, yeah, it might hurt, but I mean, I'm going to land in the water.
I don't think water park slides are made to be slid without water.
But you can still go down.
Yeah,
it
still exists.
It hurts. It still exists. It's still gravity.
Owen, wow. Mary, and Hardy don't use lube either.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, I'm
wow.
halfway there.
Wow, incredible.
And how about the lumberjacking in the book? Any thoughts on that?
Accuracy?
I did. We didn't touch on it that much, but it did. I did like when they switched from the vroom, vroom, vroom chainsaw to like a normal axe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They do make that.
Oh, yeah. They
for
made
her
that compromise.
Less noisy.
That's right.
I also do. I don't know if they talked about what kind of trees there were, because you guys know I'm a tree expert. Yeah. Didn't know Douglas
I'm guessing they're taking down some sequoias or redwood.
Yeah. One thing I thought was missing.
That's a mighty redwood.
One thing I thought was missing is that there was no penis log metaphor. I was waiting for her to talk about one of their logs entering her forest, and it
she has a forest. Her forest.
Yeah, her forest is
entering her incinerator.
She's the Amazon after palm oil.
Like a fir gully.
Stop it.
Toxic love.
Toxic love.
What do you guys give it?
Reka?
Well, I'm going to say, coming into this, first three or four chapters, I was at like a five. I was in for it.
Damn.
I was like, oh, this is the best one. But then it pretty quickly kind of just dropped off. And I would say, because like, even the beginning and the sex was like, I liked it, but then it just kind of got like repetitive and like samey.
Yeah.
So I think it dropped off to like 2.5 to me.
Yeah.
There's just so much you can do.
Yeah.
I feel like you could do more, but I feel like it just stayed at like, we'll keep it here.
Yeah. I'm at a 2.5 too. I wish more would have been done with the lumberjacking because I was very surprised by how sexy I liked, how much I like those sounds that they were talking about. Just the and her like seeing it and them like shaking and the dust flying. I wish it was like, come watch us do this and then we'll all do it because we're all so hot from lumberjacking all day. They just kind of lumberjacked once and then we never saw it again. They had a snowball fight.
They had a deadline. Did they meet it? They were talking in the book. They were like, we have a deadline for these trees. We need to keep cutting them.
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to be stressed the whole day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did they make
I'll reread it?
It
and I'll let you guys know. I'll go on the Discord.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm realizing that I didn't write down the author's name for our next book.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think it's okay. We can put it in the Discord.
We'll put it in the Discord for you guys listening and reading along. It is called Stress Treatment. It's a lesbian medical erotica.
We haven't yet touched that genre yet.
Yes,
so we're really
we haven't
excited.
Had any doctors and or books just dedicated to solely lesbian characters. So I'm very excited for this one.
Yes.
A doctor's office is not as sexy for me. So I'm interested to see if this gets me a little hotter the next time I'm at the doctor.
When you get your physical.
The next time I
check my spine, a scoliosis.
But that is, I believe, called Stress Treatment. I apologize that I didn't write it down, but we'll have that in the Discord. And thank you so much to our guests for being here.
Thank you.
I
so
love
much
it.
Fun.
It was so fun,
thank
dude.
You.
And thank you for being here. Have a wonderful, sexy week.
Please.
Yeah. And we'll see you soon.
Please. Bye. And remember, this is like 12 inches is like a ruler.
Oh my God,
just
whatever.
Be careful out there.
Be really careful.
Dare to be different.
Yeah, that's what that campaign's about.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.